Yes.
Can you start over, have him just repeat his name and the information for the heavy equipment?
Okay, did you miss the whole thing?
We do have a back, we do have a back, so we can start on this now.
It's important, like you're in. It's just an issue, it's a big issue for the ladies to have to train and start this, and so. We have, try to be real nice to them because they can get even with this work question. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Kelly, can you state your name and ABC number again?
George Carlton, 082256.
Thank you, sir. That was because we had a technical error today and we just want to make sure that the ladies can get the transcription done properly. Okay, so I think the question was, have you been in protected custody much? And you said no?
Okay.
Because I bring that up because sometimes we see inmates with really impeccable discipline histories, but I guess the way I would always talk, it was the vernacular, they were on pretty soft yards. And it's easy to stay out of trouble, but there's some that it's harder to stay out of trouble. And,
right, yes, sir.
So just the amount of discipline is not always the key to whether the person has been behaving themselves or not. So I see you taking a lot of vocational type classes from DOC and working on, I think that you're working on getting ATAC information. That's really, really good because covers a lot of different things. It really opens up the job market. And also there are some of the organizations that admit people on parole. The requirement is you work to them to pay the rent for a while until a lot of the things get settled that you need to do when you get back in the community. So it's always very good. And the other thing too is the longer your program list is, the less time you have an idle mind, which is really does cause a lot of problems. If you stay busy, if you stay busy, you don't think about a lot of things that can get you in trouble. Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Canales.
Thank you. Mr. Killian?
Yes, sir.
To echo what my colleague said, I do appreciate that you're thoughtful about, or retelling the crime with the victims present, but I did have a question for you. For clarification, how old were you when this crime was committed?
28.
Okay, I figured it was 28, 29 years old. And there can be no justification for committing a crime this terrible. But
yes, sir.
How is it that you arrived at this violent place when you were 28, 29 years old? I bring that up because, we do consider a lot of the signs of people's emotional development, and you were certainly in the window where you were at a mature age, and the question is, how did you arrive at such a violent place in your life, and again, how have you changed since then?
Well, I don't know how I arrived at it. I think it was just anger and jealousy, and just I guess it boiled over. I used to keep things bottled up inside for a long, long time. But I learned to deal with anger over the years, and I honestly haven't lost my temper in probably 15 years. I just learned to let things go now. I don't bottle things up. If I have an issue, I communicate it. Verbally, I don't raise my voice. I learned how to be a human being, a normal human being, just to communicate, be a decent person.
Did you have a high anger/violence potential leading up result of this incident? I'm just trying to understand you.
I did. I got a lot of fights when I was a kid, and just, I don't wear a tank on, I was scared when I was little. I grew up in a very strict family, and I guess I just, you know, back then corporal punishment was normal, and I guess it just was ingrained in me, I guess. I don't know. It's really hard to explain.
Okay, so you committed a murder, you fled the state. At that time, what was your plan?
Just to go home and see my family.
And?
I had no plan, I just want to see my family.
Well, I guess at that time, did you think you could avoid the law for the rest of your life?
No, sir. I just wanted to go home and be near my mom and dad, and that was it. I didn't expect to be out there alone. Matter of fact, I was giving my dates away to friends and family just because I knew I was going to go to prison.
Okay, so if you still had, we'll call it an anger management issue, not to downplay it, but when you entered corrections, when you entered the correction system, were you still contending with anger management?
No, after what happened with Kennedy, everything just boiled out. I lost that. I don't know how to explain it. I no longer had issues anymore with anger. It just kind of melted away. I don't know if this is next. That sounds right, but I just don't ever lose my temper anymore. Ever since that time, I can't do it anymore. It just kind of scared me so bad, lose my temper, I never want to lose it again.
Well, thank you for your response, Mr. Killian. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Canales. Thank you, sir. Mr. Killian, what were you doing in Arizona at the time? Why did you come to Arizona? You left Pennsylvania, so what were you doing out in Arizona, sir?
We came to go to school.
Where were you planning to go to school? Where did you go to school, sir?
Well, Kathy had enrolled in July, and I was going to do the same, but they ran short of money, so I got a job instead. And I helped support us when we first got here. We both worked, actually.
What kind of work were you doing, sir?
Remodeling homes.
And how long have you been in Arizona before you committed this offense, sir?
I believe 18 months.
What were your plans at that time if things had worked out? Were you going back to Pennsylvania? Were you going to stay out in Arizona? What were your plans, sir?
We really hadn't made any definitive plans. We were going to go to school and work and just play up from there. Because we actually really liked Arizona. It was, I liked the people and the place, and the weather was great compared to Pennsylvania.
And after committing this offense, so why don't you pick up and go back? I know you said you wanted to be around your family, but why don't you leave Arizona and go back to Pennsylvania aside from wanting to be with your family, sir?
I was scared to death. I didn't know what to do, and family's all I had, so I just wanted to be new again.
So how long did you make up your mind that you was going back to going to Pennsylvania, sir?
Immediately after I did it, I was so scared and upset, and family's the only thing I knew, so that's where I wanted to go.
And how did you get back to Pennsylvania, sir?
I took Kathy's car.
You drove all the way back, and driving all the way back, did you give it a thought to when it happened? Now, that's a pretty long drive from Arizona to Pennsylvania, so did you really concentrate on what had happened, what you had done, sir?
I did. It was a nightmare. I just kept pouring my mind over and over, how could I do this? I mean, I loved her so much, and I don't understand how I could do that. It scared me bad.
As my colleague said, we're just trying to get to know you, and I've spoken with you before, so I'm
yes, sir,
repeating some things that I asked before, but once you arrived back in Pennsylvania, how long did it take you to confess to your family what had happened?
Just a few days. The police came down. I was at a local bar, and I called my mom, and The police were there, and they just came and kicked me out.
Why did the police know that you were there, sir? I know that the crime happened. I guess it wasn't asking.
I think they were monitoring my mom's phone or at the house.
Yeah, I do
think it's a little...
Please go ahead, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't know what you were.
That's okay, sir.
So
I'm just saying that it's a local police, and they know me, and they just came rush to me and to Beale County.
Jump forward to now, you said that your preference would be to go back to Pennsylvania if you were released, so you would be close to your family. If you could not go back to Pennsylvania, you know, well, that's a process, as you know.
Yes, sir, I know that.
But if,
I'm willing to do as much time here in Arizona as your officer sees fit.
So
I'm going to get a job and get an apartment and live in life until they allow me to go. If they don't, then I'll just make it like you.
What kind of job would you be looking for, sir?
Well, I actually want to get back into remodeling homes and painting, and it's something really good, and it's something I enjoy, and I'm still physically able to do all that.
I guess my final question at this point, sir, would be very simple. In your own words, how would you convince me that I ought to vote for you to be released, sir? Maybe speak for all board members. I'm just going to speak as one board member. How could you convince me to vote for you to be granted release at this time, sir?
Well, I feel like changed 100%. I'm not a violent, angry person. I don't get in trouble. I obey all the rules, laws, of the correction department. I program every day. I work hard. I work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and sometimes Saturdays. I just enjoy life now. I don't think about drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or anything like that. I just, I'm ready for a second chance, and I hope that you'll let me have that.
Were you on drugs or alcohol at the time you committed these offenses?
We had a few drinks.
Was that something that you...
I wasn't.
That you had been involved in drinking and using drugs prior to this offense, sir?
Yes, sir. Over the years, when I was in the military and afterwards, I experimented here and there. At a point in my life, I did drink pretty heavy, and then I stopped.
So when were you in the military, sir?
79 to 84.
And what branch were you in, sir?
Army.
Did you get an honorable discharge, sir?
I got an honorable and another honorable.
Well, repeat that again. I just didn't quite hear you. You had an honorable and what?
My first 3 years I completed, I got an honorable discharge, and I reenlisted, and then I didn't finish it.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop at this time. Perhaps some of my distinguished colleagues might have some questions. But thank you so much, sir, and thank you, Honorable Mr. Neal.
Mr. Johnson, do you have any questions? Okay, sir. I think what's going to be now is you have the letters on the phone, and Ms. Killian, would you like to speak to the board?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe my son has changed an awful lot, and he's tried to change himself, and he's done so much in taking courses, and I think that he'd be a pretty good citizen now. He don't have the anger that he had. He had anger for a long time. And we're behind him. We'll help him in any way we can.
Okay. Well, one question I have while we're talking to you is, what are the things that's looked at before releasing somebody into a halfway house? Those kind of situations is whether or not they have the sufficient amount of money to pay. And the Department of Corrections likes to see 2 months worth of expenses either in their account or somebody vouching for them. And so the question would be to you is if he needs money for the first month or two until they can get out and get a job, do those things, and be self-sufficient, are you and the family going to help them financially?
Yes.
Okay. And I assume you're in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The board has any questions? Okay, you can stay on the phone, ma'am. We're going to continue the hearing from here. Thank you very much for speaking in support of your son.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else in the room that is here in support of Mr. Kevin?
Yeah, well.
I'm on the phone. Okay. I have a list of people on the phone, but nobody else in the room. So we'll make sure to get everybody on there. Let's see, Mr. or Mrs. Killian. And I don't have,
well, you should have, I believe,
Harris.
Ms. Harris.
Oh, there it is. Mommy Harris, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. They, sometimes we get lists that aren't really lists, but I'll bring them around and say, okay, so Ms. Harris, you would like to speak for Mr. Killian?
I would indeed.
Okay, now is your opportunity.
Well, I've known George for almost 18 plus years. We've been corresponding back and forth. I used to live in England, and I came back home to Canada. We've been corresponding ever since. I've seen him a couple of times when finances allow and holiday time allows. But over the years, I noticed a distinct change in George's behavior and his attitude. He's much more what I like to call humanized now, because he's developed his intelligence where he didn't do that as a kid. He's a lot calmer now. I've talked to his mother on a number of occasions and learned a little bit more about family background, and I've talked to George about it. And there's a vast difference. He's become an adult, and he takes full responsibility for whatever he does now, whether he makes a mistake or whether he does something right. I mean, he owns up to it. I think he's got great aspirations in order to make a life for himself. He's certainly determined, and you can see that by the amount of work that he's done over the last 30 years. I know people that are on the outside that aren't that ambitious, so I give him kudos. And I praise him 100% over and over. I know what it's like to be in a situation where something horrible can happen. I've been on that end, and plus I felt the opposite feeling for it, just like to punch somebody's lights out. And it's hard. It's difficult when emotions are involved. He's learned what's right and what's wrong. And through our conversations, I throw him a test once in a while and see if he's going to get mad at me, and he doesn't. We joke about it after a while. So he brought humor into the situation. So I think he knows what he can control and what he can't control anymore. And I think he's learned that the best thing he can control is himself and not anybody else. And so all of his efforts are going to go into making the best life he can for his parents and for himself. If he's allowed to go back to Pennsylvania at some point in time, that's his biggest goal, is to go back and stand by his parents the way they've been standing by him, because they're getting older now. But if he's not allowed to do that, then he's going to bust his butt trying to do the best he can for himself and create a life that he hasn't been able to have beyond for a while, for a long time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Is there any questions for Lady Board members? Okay. I believe that's all of Mr. Killian's supporters today. So now we move to the Lincoln side. Now I have like four people on the list. I'm not sure who wants to speak and who doesn't, but I think I'll let the county attorney's office start it out. And
if it's okay with the board members, I'd like to go last after I hear from the victims. I haven't spoken to them in some time, so I'd like to get a feel for them.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
You can just give me a round, to the, we're recording this, let's see. Thank you, just state your name, and it is all yours.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Lindsay Hampshire, and I'm an attorney at Arizona Voice for Crime Victims, and we represent the victim's family. I'm going to focus on the trauma to the victims because we do have a prosecutor here from the county attorney's office. The victim, Kathy, was just a young woman when she was murdered, and the, I won't get into the details of the murder, but I do want to note that according to the pre-sentence report, even if she died by strangulation or suffocation from the duct tape over her mouth, that the crime could be described as cruel and heinous, and that she suffered. This murder has had a lifelong impact on Kathy's family, and they've endured significant trauma. And they ask that you deny parole and also would like the longest sit-off possible. So next to speak will be Mary Wallace, also from Arizona Voice for Crime Victims, who will read a statement from one of the victims.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Wallace. I'm with Arizona Voice for Crime Victims, and I do have a statement to read from Lisa Kramer, one of the victims in the case. But I did want to ask if you all have in your packet some photos that the family submitted for the last hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
I wasn't sure if they made it in here.
I was all black and white, but we do have them.
Okay. Well, I have an additional picture I'd like to hand to you for each of you of Kathy, so you kind of have an idea on who we're talking
so
about.
So we won't return it. Is that okay?
You may have it.
Okay. Thank you.
May I approach?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the only time I get to ask that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm reading a statement from Lisa Kramer. My name is Lisa Kramer, and I am one of the sisters of Kathy, the victim in this case. I would like to tell you how the brutal, unthinkable murder of Kathy has affected myself and family to this day. I know you already received several letters from family members. I would like to highlight and explain the reasons why our family objects to parole or release of any kind for George Killian. I would also like to tell you how difficult it is for my family to relive the horror of Kathy's murder every year as this inmate attempts to be granted parole. Although this pain is brought back each time, I can assure you we will always participate in the hearings, so this board knows that we object to any release of this inmate. We have all struggled with the brutality of the murder. It is hard to imagine someone strangling and binding anyone they love with duct tape and leaving them in a closet of their own home to die. The medical examiner stated she died from strangulation asphyxiation. My sister was found days later stuffed in a closet. Her jewelry, cash, and car were then stolen by this inmate who drove to Pennsylvania. My sister Karen struggles with understanding how anyone could do this to someone they love. Karen gave birth to a baby girl on the day Kathy was murdered. Sharing the happiness of a new baby with the news that her sister had been murdered was an emotional roller coaster. She should have been happy, but instead felt tremendous sadness for our parents and family. She is haunted that her sister was murdered by the man that said he loved her. To this day, Karen still struggles to understand how anyone could do this to Kathy. My sister Linda has submitted a letter to you today. She describes this murder as a nightmare that she never wakes up from. For a long time, Linda, like the rest of us, had nightmares about Kathy being suffocated with her hands and legs bound, how she must have struggled to breathe. She must have been so frightened. Just like Karen, Linda also struggles to understand why her sister was brutally murdered by someone she loved. My sister Melissa dreads it when January 8th approaches every year. She's haunted by the thoughts of what Kathy must have gone through. She's also reminded yearly of her worry that George Killing could somehow be released. She believes his inmate should serve the same life sentence that he gave to our sister. Kathy's son, Jeremiah, was 12 years old when his mother was murdered. Jeremiah is now born with a family of his own. Kathy missed all those times and memories. She never had the opportunity to see her son grow up, and she never was given the chance to experience being a grandmother. Each time this inmate applies for parole, I have tried to ask Jeremiah to write a letter to the board. It is just too difficult for him. He was just a little boy when his mother was taken from him. Although he cannot handle the pain of the process, I know for certain he does not want the man who murdered his mother to be free. My father passed away in 2014. He was haunted by Kathy's murder until the day he died. I came across a short letter that he wrote to Kathy that showed how much he loved his daughter. The letter is included with the other letters from our family. I've also included a statement written by my mother. She is 77 years old now. As you can see, she is still heartbroken over the murder of Kathy, but she tries to remain strong and move forward, as she knows Kathy would want her to do. My heart aches watching my mom have to endure this year after year. She said the older she gets, the harder it is. I have watched my entire family grieve and cope for all these years. The death of Kathy has impacted each of us differently. I know we will never be the same people. For 25 years, we were able to remember all the times with Kathy. The fact is, all we have now are memories. She will never get a chance to say I love you to us, and we will never be able to tell her we love her. She was robbed of this precious life. When someone you love dies, it is hard enough. However, when it is at the hands of someone who professes to love them, it becomes impossible to understand, and you question love. You would think we should move on, that life doesn't stand still, but each year the world is reopened, and we must come before this board and ask you to keep George Killian in prison for brutally and cruelly murdering Kathy. I'm saddened to think if he were able to get parole, what would that say about Kathy's death? Does it mean her death had no meaning? That she isn't still worth it? Each year, this inmate waits for the opportunity to be paroled and have a life outside of prison. My sister was not spared. She did not get a chance to live her life. Why should he be allowed to live his? Kathy is buried in Pennsylvania. We do not think he should be paroled and allowed to return home to his family. Kathy will never be granted the opportunity to return home to her family. She is buried here, but she will never have the chance to go in front of the Board of Executive Clemency to see if she can go home and if she is granted leave of death. Each member of our family has coped and grieved in different ways, but we are all united as a family and strongly object to the parole or release of George Killian. The inmate should spend the rest of his life in prison for the horrific, brutal murder of Kathy. We all believe he is a danger to anyone he encounters in the community. He has taken a precious life. Why give him the opportunity to take another? I'm sure you wouldn't want George Killian in your community, in your neighborhood, or near anyone you love.
Thank you. I'm going to see if the ladies on the phone from Kathy's side, do you think you wish to actually give a statement? I don't hear anything.
I'm very indignant, and I'm in a letter out there, and let me just thank Steve did a good job putting all of our letters together and making how we feel appropriate, and I appreciate that a lot.
Okay. Well, I can understand that. You should be a good job, great job, and I think you got everybody's emotions included there.
Okay, so if everybody from the victim's side, as far as the victims, if there's no one else in our street, then the county attorney will take the podium.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, board members, I was the original county attorney on this case. I actually went out to the crime scene. And back in those days, when we were called to the crime scenes, we'd go out and look at detectives. This was a Detective Fedoso in this particular case. And I haven't appeared before the board on this case before. Our file is now gone, and so I'm working from memory and from a pre-sentence report that I've read. I've listened to the victim's statements, and I've also listened to what the defendant has to say. And I jotted down some things that the defendant has to say that I thought were at least insightful to me, that I'd like to challenge. He said that during this time period, his relationship with the victim led him to be scared, jealous, and angry. And he didn't mean to take her life. Well, let's take a look at what happened out there. Here's a man that said, I'd been drinking at the time, I had a couple of drinks, we were bouncing back and forth in the relationship, I went over to talk to her, and I didn't mean to take her life. He has no insight as to what he actually did that day. You don't duct tape a person's hands together, duct taped their face in their head, and put them in a closet without meaning to take somebody's life. This is a relationship that I had previous incidents of domestic violence that he admitted to. He wasn't living with this woman at the time. Where did the duct tape come from? All we know about what happened in that room was what he said happened. And he said that this was an argument that led to something else. He worked as a construction person remodeling houses at the time. He took duct tape over there. This is what he meant to do. You don't get in an argument with somebody, strangle them, and then duct tape them. Where do you find the duct tape? Where's the anger in this? Where's the lack of premeditation? He meant to do this. He meant to do this, and he still denies that he meant to do it. He also took the earrings out of her ear. I mean, there's a man that's scared, he was angry, he was probably drunk, and yet he had the sense of purpose to remove her earrings to provide money for him to get away to Pennsylvania. And then when the police caught him, he said, nah, it wasn't me, she gave me the car. This isn't a man that's afraid, this is a man that planned to do something. The only reason he pled guilty was to avoid the death penalty at the time. No parole for this guy. That's my opinion. And I was out there. I saw this. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, you have a question?
Yes, thank you, sir. And just a quick question is that for whatever reason, they wanted this, it may have been one of those door evidence. The victim had a 12-year-old son. Is that correct?
I am not sure of that. And if that's what the relatives say, that's obviously the truth.
It's not weighing into the case per se. I don't know if the son was living in the household when this murder happened.
I don't know that either.
No?
And if I want to wait for them to say.
Okay.
Does anybody know whether the son of the victim at this time was living with her in Phoenix?
No, not.
He was living
in
back home, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I want to understand the crime scene. Thank you.
Man, it looks like I've got a little anger here, but when he says, I didn't mean to take her life, that's ridiculous. I didn't mean to take her life. He bound her and duct taped her, strangled her, and put her in a closet to hide her, and then split, and had the presence of mind to take the earrings out of her ears to provide more funds for him to make his escape.
Thank you, sir.
So, is there anything else that anybody in the gallery would like to add? Okay. I thank you all very much for the information. I understand the passion that can develop with these things, but I appreciate everybody being calm today. So, Mr. Killian.
Yes, sir.
So, we're having a great time with our sound system. I think I almost blasted a bit of your, but, okay, can you still hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hopefully, we won't get that bad echo and stuff going. All right, so at this point in time, we're nearing the end of the hearing. We're going to discussion to make a decision. But before we do, would I give you an opportunity to make a final statement? Give us any information you think might be pertinent to our decision. We ask for time management's sake that you don't repeat information that you've already given us, okay?
Yes, sir. I'm just trying to say, I'm not the same person I was 28 and a half years ago. I've changed, I've matured, I've tried to learn, I've learned to be a good, decent human being. I think I'm a model citizen now. I just really hope the Lord will give me a second chance and let me do the type of man I have become. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make that decision. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the line. You can listen to the entire discussion and the decision as we make it. And after we've made the decision, I'll get back with you to finish the hearing, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Well, this is a very unfortunate case. There's quite a few things to look at here. Also, Mr. Killian hasn't appeared very many times before the board. My first time talking to Mr. Killian or any of the other representatives that are here. I can agree with Mr. Killian that he's a different person than he was 28 and a half years ago, but we all are different than we were 28 and a half years ago, and so we have to look at whether that difference is sufficient to justify some sort of a release. I like the fact that he's got a lot of programming that keeps him busy, and which is a good thing. A lot of inmates become idle and then they get in trouble or they're not ready to go back to society, all kinds of different things. It's that old adage where idle mind is the devil's playground, and he's done a good job on that point. Discipline also commendable. But there comes a time that, you know, you have to kind of weigh the whole picture, and you can't just put in the fact that he's done good programming or that sort of thing. He has been drug-free and alcohol-free as far as we can tell. That's also another good thing, and he's got a good release plan. But I kind of have to, I guess I'll say I agree with the county attorney's summation on the, to whether or not it was just a rash random act or whether there was some planning behind it. I'm just not real comfortable with that part of the story. It just doesn't really ring true that there wasn't some type of plan in motion when all of this happened. And I really think Mr. Killian needs to take a really deep look at that portion of his repentance and his remorse. I think he is sorry that he committed the crime, but 28 and a half years in prison can do that without any real remorse developing inside. I just, at this time, I'm not comfortable with the idea of granting a regular parole or home arrest or active discharge for Mr. Killian, but I'm willing to listen to discussion from other board members. Actually, hope there is some. Mr. Kenobis.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Neal.
I appreciate that Mr. Killian has put much effort into programming and its rehabilitation, but there are some cases in which granting supervised release is an affront to the very interest of justice, especially considering the calculated and heinous nature of the crime, the trauma caused to the victims, not to mention that this act represented an escalation in violent behavior. And I'll hand it back to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Cummins. Mr. Johnson.
I have to agree with Mr. Cummins. I do agree that Mr. Killian has taken some, in the last couple of years, he's really gone out to take some classes and programming that he's taken, whether it's conflict resolution, he's done several times, he's done the pre-release re-entry classes that he's actually taken, he's done the domestic violence classes that he's actually taken, and he's just taken a number of classes in 17 and 18 that he is working on himself. He's done the personal excellence, emotional maturity, and lead health and wellness, thanking for a chance class that he actually took. But if this was a very violent crime, and to tape someone up and then leave them the way that he did, not make any notification, take the vehicle, I'm just not hearing enough that my concern is that he has that that violent temper and nature under control at this time. So I'm not supportive of granting him home arrest, absolute discharge, and regular parole at this time.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Wright.
Yes, sir, I'm going to be very brief. I think that as a board and as a board member, one has to take into consideration what is in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Arizona or Pennsylvania in this case, where we are here for Arizona. We also have to take into consideration to be sure the offender himself or herself, but as also as important, and perhaps in some cases even more important, we have to protect on the consideration of the victims themselves. I think that one has to live through this year after year, a crime that was really necessary that took place. It's something that I as one board member cannot overlook, and I think it would be in the best interest of the state of Arizona as well as for the victims for us at this time for the board not to grant any type of release. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Okay, so at this time, I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Killian regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. And I'm also going to ask for a 1 year of set-off. And that would be my motion, and I'll give the reasons after the motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Canonis. Okay, and the reason is going to be that it's a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, and with the duct taping and everything, a very serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, and serious bodily injuries leading up to it. And I would say that type of situation involved some victim harassment, and of course it was an ongoing issue. And history of assaulting behavior, even if it was only because of anecdotal information about their relationship. And unless there's something else, that would be the reasons. Okay, Mr. Killian, the board has voted to deny regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time. And did you hear the reasons I stated?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Don't take this as all negative. We really do, and I think everybody in the audience wishes you success in
your rehabilitation and everything. But so at this time, unless you have a question, it'll end your hearing.
If I could ask one question.
Go ahead, sir.
What can I do or what do I need to do to earn release? I tried everything and I don't know what to do.
Well, sir, the board really can't make recommendations in that line. For one thing, the board hopefully is going to be fairly stable for a few years, but we don't know, how many of the members that are here today will be here at your next hearing, and so you may have to go through the whole thing again, but... Just keep going the direction you're going and think about the things we discussed today and then go from there, sir. I mean, we don't...
Okay, I'll do that.
You know, everybody, wishes you, not to, harm you, they just, even the victims are, I don't want to say forgiving or forgetting, that's an individual thing, but I'm sure that they, as a human being, they would hope that you would be successful in rehabilitating yourself and so to speak, paying your dues to society. So think about what we're doing on today and go from there, okay?
Yes, sir. I thank you.
All right, thank you. And this is Linda Gray. We should put the CO3 back on, please.